Onani and Shiphrah were their names, and he went to them and he said, "Hey, I want you now to take all the male children that are born to the Hebrew women, and when they're born, I want you to kill them." Well, you know, they're like, oh. What he didn't realize is even though they were Egyptian women and they were midwives, the women who were Hebrews, probably because they worked harder, I'm not sure, just could have been the favor of God, they didn't have as much trouble in childbirth as the Egyptian women did. They didn't have doctors and hospitals. They used midwives. So these midwives go in, and they were probably over like 500 midwives in this area. So he goes in. He tells them to tend to the Hebrew women. If I ever do this when I'm talking, it means I want you to hear it with spiritual ears. Okay? So this is what happens. Ready? Yeah. While you're in bondage, the world wants to come in and deliver whatever is good from you and kill it, because the world still wants you to stay in slavery. So he comes in and he tells these two women, here's how we're going to roll. We're going to go in. We're going to take care of this. And they're like, okay, he's the king. He's the big cheese. So they go out. But what he doesn't know is somebody has taught them about God. Somebody's brought them the gospel of what God can do in a person's life. And they're no longer worshiping idols. They're worshiping the one true God. And they're like, dude, we cannot do this. I don't think they said dude back in those days, but that would be our term. And so they said to themselves, we just won't do it. So they go in, and he's figuring this out. And he comes back. He says, hey, I thought you were supposed to be killing them. And they're like, well, those women deliver so fast, we can't get there in time. So they lied. But the word says that God honored them for covering his children. And while these women didn't even have children, that the Lord blessed them with children of their own. And so he gave them favor over that. Well, now, you know, Pharaoh's got these guards and people going out, and they're listening for crying babies and going in and checking and making sure it's not a boy, because they realize some of them are getting born. Well, here's Jochebed, and you have to remember, they're living in a tent. These people weren't given any conveniences, okay? So when you see these pictures and they're in these houses, no, they were in tents. And what had actually happened was Pharaoh was so determined that they would not continue to increase that was one reason he kept increasing their workload. He thought, if I make it harder on them, you know, they'll be so exhausted they won't be reproducing. If I make them so discouraged and so worn out, they won't even be able to enjoy the fellowship of one another. Man, that's like the world, right? But let's just keep people so busy. Well, the exact opposite happened in the kingdom. Because what happens in the kingdom of God is the more stressed and the more pressure we have, the more we seek love and we find comfort from one another and from him. And those babies just kept coming. And he thought, hey, if I get up there and I ever go to war, what if these people that I've made slaves out of decide that they're going to hook up with my enemy and come out in numbers like millions? They could destroy me. Man, I got to get on this. So it was serious. They were going out and they were searching for these babies. And here's where we come and we begin our story of hide and seek. Number one, the thing I want you to realize is that Jochebed was seeing the potential, okay? There was nowhere to run and there was nowhere to hide. You have to remember that for 3 months now, she's kept this baby while it's crying. Anybody ever have a baby that did not cry? Yeah, good, because I didn't want to have to teach on lying. But here's the thing. This baby was crying, right? And so for 3 months, she had to hide this baby. Now, at this time, the scholars believe that Miriam was about 10 years old, the older sister. You remember Miriam and Aaron helping him. And Aaron was about 4. So this edict had come down after Aaron had been born. You know, God's timing is so perfect that he's probably got things already born that are going to be helping you and I, and we don't even know it. So he comes in, and she is realizing that she's got to succeed now in giving life, not just worried about his life, but his soul, because the word says she recognized that there was something special about him. But she saw the potential in him that nobody else saw. Now, what we know from Hebrews 11:23 is this, that the father and the mother, do we have notes up? Yes. If you'll just leave them up, you're going to go to the next one. And if you'll just leave them up until we move forward, that'd be great. So everybody can write down these scriptures. So we know that from Exodus 2:2, she recognized his potential. She saw that he was special. Lots of people are fanning in here. Can somebody turn on air conditioner? And then the second thing in Acts 7:20, we know from this account in the New Testament that she recognized that he was no ordinary child. And even though she recognized that, the word says that he was raised in the place of Pharaoh and he was gleaning all this wisdom from all of Egypt. Now, in Hebrews 11:23, and this is really important for us as parents, they recognize that the father and mother, it says, were in agreement that they were not afraid of the king. They didn't care about his edict. They were not afraid of it. They recognized they could see the potential, but they got in agreement. And really, whether it was the mom who saw it first or the dad, the important thing was both of them believed it and they saw this potential. How hard would that be as a mother to release your child to the arms of someone else? To let somebody else call your child mom, to let somebody else be the one who gets to hold them and comfort them, and that would be so hard. But you see, unless you're confident in God, like our text talked about, you're always going to be insecure in what you have. Unless you're confident in God, you're always going to be insecure in what you have. And the enemy always wants to make things about me. Just fill in the blank, whatever it is. If it's on a job, we want to see, oh, you know, man, this could affect me. I better do this so this doesn't happen. The enemy always wants to put us in that place. Or, oh, you know, I need to straighten this out because if I don't straighten this out, it, you know, if it's up to me, it's up to me. And that's humanistic teaching. And while Moses was getting humanistic teaching, humanistic, by that I mean where we either deny the need or the reality of God. Folks, that's everywhere. It's everywhere. Our children were trained with it. That's why we have to keep speaking the word of God into their life and saying, look how God has helped us, and giving God credit because we need him. So they came to the end of it. But here's what the kingdom does. The kingdom turns it and says, don't think about you. Think about the bigger picture. So instead of thinking, I'm going to have to give this child up to somebody else to love, to somebody else to get my sweet sugars. Instead of saying that, she said, you know what? There's something special about this child, and the kingdom of God is going to need them. Just a side note, you know, I shared on Wednesday night that I think this really fits in kingdom teaching, and I just want to take a minute to share it with you. I like to go 2 to 3 miles over the speed limit. Okay? I just think it's good. I just think I can do it, and I'm not going to get caught, right? Because they don't want to mess with 2 to 3 miles over the speed limit. Now, if I'm on the highway, some of you are really, you're just enjoying that a little too much. But if I'm on the highway, I kind of think 5 miles, you know, because I'm thinking they're going to get you at 9 or something. So I'm like, yeah. But, you know, there's just something in us that wants to get away with a little something. But, man, when I realized that I had won for city council, that people had put their trust in me, I want to tell you the difference. Now when I'm driving, I don't want to go over the speed limit because I never want to bring reproach on this city. I never want to be stopped or somebody to say, look at her, she thinks she can get away with this. And guys, that is such a kingdom thing. When I was doing that consciously, I felt like the Lord said to me, that's the way it is with you and I. It's not that you want to follow the law because you don't want to get in trouble. It's because you love me so much that you don't want to bring shame and reproach on the kingdom. And that's a good thing to know. Man, so I realized that, like, Jochebed, you have to have kingdom thinking. You got to think bigger than you. I'm going to have to suck this up. I'm going to have to say I'm sorry, whether I want to say it or not, because I need to bring peace. I'm going to have to come in and wrap this baby up and trust God with the life of my baby, because there's something bigger that God's doing, and I need to be a part of it. So there she was. She saw the potential. Now remember, Pharaoh's smart. The world always wants to shut down God. But now she's seen the pitfall. She's seen that she needs to walk in, and she's seen the potential of the son. Now she's seen the pitfall. So here we are. Beware, folks, of the know-it-all. They're enslaved to their own pride. And people who cannot yield and are driven by their own opinions miss out on the love God intended. And I'm sharing that because everybody else would have told her, man, you're going to get it. Something's going to happen to you. If you don't do what Pharaoh says, this is going to happen. And if you met people like that and they know everything, and they have no peace because they're driven. I'm right. You're going to know I'm right. And the world's going to know I'm right. And what happens is it's feeding a hidden pride. It's probably a hurt. It's probably an insecurity. But when it manifests, it comes across very secure. And remember in our text, my confidence is in God. He who began the work is going to finish it. I'm just the one who has to see the pitfall and get in agreement with God. But the first thing I need to check is my heart and make sure that my hands are clean. So she's a woman. We know that she's a woman of God because here's what she's doing. She's now relating back to a story that she knew. For those of you who don't know it, I've written some of the scriptures down. It's in Genesis 7:7. And this is where the word says that Noah and his wife and his family entered the ark to escape the water's flood. So what happened here? She knew this story because she had been taught about the things of God. And unlike us, you know, who don't have, maybe there are some of you in here who do this, but I didn't. And I taught my kids, but I didn't set aside like an hour a day for Bible teaching with my children, okay? But they were taught this from young to old. They set aside time to tell the stories and recount what God had done. So she knew this story about Noah. So not only did she know the story about Noah, but she goes in and she forms an ark. And the word is the same. It's the only two times this word is used in the Bible. It's used for Noah's ark, and it's used for the carrier that she put baby Moses in. And at this point, his name wasn't even Moses. We don't know that she gave him a name. Maybe she felt like he's not going to be mine. I'm not going to give him a name because I don't want to relate to that. Maybe it wasn't important because God knew that whatever man has labeled you, he's got a bigger purpose for your life. But whatever it was, she built that ark. And she put it together, and the word says, with bulrushes. And scholars actually believe that the way she built it was the kind of thing that instead of it being woven just like a basket, she left the sharp edges out so that crocodiles wouldn't want. It wouldn't look appealing to a crocodile because they knew it would hurt if they bit on it. I want to tell you something. When God gives you a plan, he's going to take care of every detail, and we're just going to be thankful to be a part of it. Amen. So, man, she goes in. She takes this baby, and God's not easy. I want you to realize God is not easy to figure out, and that's why he gave us faith. He doesn't want us to figure everything out because then the pressure's on us and the enemy uses that as a button to tell you why you're going to fail or why something else is going to fail and make you feel responsible. God doesn't want to put that pressure on us. He wants us to walk by faith. And she had faith to know that if he did it then, he can do it again. And that's why you and I can look in this word, but we need the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit doesn't just convict. He doesn't just speak to your subconscious in times where don't do that, which I'm grateful he does do that to me. But he also says things like, that's it. That's me. And sometimes, have you ever gotten those ideas and you're like, where did that come from? Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that, right? That's the Holy Spirit. And there are times when you read the Word, you would think that after, you know, well, okay, I'm more than 6 decades old, but that's as much as I'm going to tell you. But you would think in 6 decades of going to Sunday school and hearing and reading the Word that I would know every aspect of it. I don't. And neither will you and I until He comes back, because the Holy Spirit will still zing just a word or a phrase alive. And you're like, oh, that can happen from, oh, that's so good. And you never saw it before, but it'll be just what you need at that time. And I believe she had that moment where she knew, hey, that was good enough for Noah. It's good enough for my baby. But without the Holy Spirit, it's going to be my power. It's got to be my strength. And I'm going to be a sad person who has to know everything and be driven and not led by peace. So here's the thing that happens, though. In Luke 6:48, he says that the flood came and that the house was not shaken because it was built on stable ground. My opinion or somebody else's opinion is not stable ground. If everybody in America says something's okay and the Word of God says it's not, that's not stable ground. This is stable ground. And we need to be grounded in it so that when the floods of life and adversity come, we have hope. I've got an anchor. I've got something that's going to keep me safe. So she goes in here. And she realized that the blessed person doesn't have to know everything, but they're going to go through God's Word and figure it out. So now we see where she's a mother of faith, and she starts seeking protection. I need to take my mind to the Holy Spirit, because when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. That is a benefit for you of being saved. Don't let people tell you what the Holy Spirit is for you, or how you need to have the Holy Spirit, or how it needs to work in you. You have the Holy Spirit when you receive Him. He, in fact, the Word says the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in me. So I can call those dead things in me to come to life because of Him. So here's what Jochebed knew. She knew she had to take him to the place of death to save his life. Did it make any sense that she would be taking him to the same river that they were throwing these babies in? Let me tell you something. Wherever you think you're going to die, when you're walking in the protection of the Holy Spirit, you'll live regardless of what happens to anybody else in that troubled water. And man, those drowned babies, she took him right to that place because the Word still works. And then she didn't see that it was just his life that she was saving, but she knew that it was his soul. Don't look at people as just their life comes and goes. There's a soul they live on. And in Hebrews, he talks about that great cloud of witnesses. Those are people who've gone before us, who've seen things, and who I believe still to this day are saying yes to God over for us. But she got help. She recognized she did her part, but she needed a little more help. I think every mother in here and every father should recognize, you know what? We need help. There's going to be a point where we need help. And I'm not just talking spiritual help. I'm talking physically. We need help. So she turns to her daughter, Miriam, who at this time, I've told you, the Word scholars believe she was about 10. So she says, you take this baby, and I want you to go down by the river, and I want you to put the basket in the river. She wasn't just putting one child at stake. She was putting two. Because we know that crocodiles were there, and we know that it was a place near the palace where she could have been hurt. But I want to tell you something. No matter how scared you are, no matter how much you want to hide and you want to isolate when things get rough, you need to turn around and trust the one who's seeking after you, because he's going to make the way for you. And she went boldly, and she took that little basket, that little ark, and she put that baby in the water. And so all of a sudden, we know from Josephus, Pharaoh's daughter named Theruseus came out, and she was going to bathe there. Well, of course, she had lots of handmaidens and stuff and people who did whatever she said. And so this little basket, she I wonder why she's the only one who noticed the basket. Because I want to tell you, there's a light on your life. And when God has purpose for you, he will show who you are and your need to the right people at the right time. No matter what your other circumstances are, he's seeking you and he's got his eye on you. And she saw him and she said to the handmaiden, hey, bring me that basket. So she brought the basket. This, I love this. And when she opened that and saw the baby started crying. There is something in every, I do believe it's in every woman, whether we listen to it or not. When you hear a baby cry, it's compassion. When you see your child cry, it's compassion. When I see you cry, Maddie, I have compassion. There's something in that nurturing part of us that when they cry, we just, oh, it just gets our heart, and we just want it. And man, her heart went out to that baby, and she knew. She said, this must be one of the Hebrew babies. And so she said, I'm going to keep that baby as my own. Man, that would have been so hard. But God had somebody in place. So Miriam goes over, the sister, and she says, oh, would you like for me to find a Hebrew woman who can nurse this baby for you? And she's like, yeah. That'd be great. Go ahead. You do that. So she gives the baby to her, and she takes the baby back to the mom. And Jochebed is now paid by the world to provide for her child. Following me? Because I'm telling you, the world is going to pay for the things of the kingdom. Because God has given us a place, and you're thinking, how can that be? How many of you have a job and you get a paycheck? Right? Well, oh, you know, you're thinking, how can that relate? Let me tell you, whatever gift God's given you, wherever you're using it, the world is coming back and paying you, and your paycheck is not just to do your job. Your paycheck is to increase the kingdom of God and to bring light wherever you are, and they're just paying you to be a witness in that job. So, man, she comes in and she's like, what? I'm going to get to feed my baby and I'm getting paid too, right? And all these other homes, can you imagine the blessing that came on their home? Because here's her husband having to go out every day and slave and work, and now she's being paid to take care of her own baby. When God sends you out into the world, he's not just going to take care of you. He's not going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all of us because he's a God. He is a God who is limitless. So she got help, but she got God's position, and that's what helped her. Now I want you to realize something. She was seeking protection, but there's something in us where we have to incubate the Word of God, and I've used 2 Corinthians 10:5 for this. And if it's not one of your banner scriptures, and by banner scripture, I mean it's something that you look at a lot. This is one of my banner scriptures. Casting down imaginations. That's going to get me. I need to hide. They hate me. I need to run. Ooh. And every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the name of God, God says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. My mind says, you're bad. He's going to leave you because you aren't good enough to deserve his love. And I have to say that scripture to myself, and I say it out loud. I can't tell you the times people in this church have caught me walking around here talking to myself out loud, okay? And I'm not ashamed of it because I'll be walking around the corner and be like, God, I know this is you. I'm so sure of it. And, oh, hi, Sylvia. You know, I'm not crazy. Really, I'm not, right? But sometimes I have to not just think it, but I have to hear it. And if there's nobody else to say it, I'm going to say it to me. Cast down. Gay, you're letting this get bigger than God. Stop it. God is bigger than this because that's what makes you want to run and hide. It makes you want to isolate when you feel threatened or hurt. I don't want to be around those people. Hello? What? You know, they're after me. So I don't want to walk in this place of incubation where these thoughts come in. I need to act on the Word of God. I need to put into practice. I need to have that faith because the evidence, remember, is what's going to be seen. Do you think Miriam ever in her whole life got away from the fact that her mom made a basket for her brother and she put him in the water obeying her mother, and then the princess just happens to come out and raise the baby as her own and pay her mom to put him back in the house and give that baby protection when no other baby had it? Man, she never got away from that. I'm telling you, the evidence of our faith, what we're incubating, is either to get people to freak out with you or to get people to seek out with you the purposes and the plan of God. Because you and I are going to have some testimonies that nobody else can deny. I don't want to embarrass Kay this morning, but I got to watch Kay and I got to meet her husband. It was so nice to meet you. And they have a beautiful family and friends. Really, it was so beautiful in that room. They didn't need me. They'd already prayed by the time I got there. They were covered. But you know, the thing was, she had this little cloth. And on this cloth, she had written that song we sang today. She said, "This is my theme. This is how we fight our battles, is through praise. And I'm going to praise God, and God's going to get the glory." And I'm telling you, Kay Seaton is sitting there today because she trusted God, and a report that came out they were going to have to do radical surgery on her came down to a simple surgery and one lymph node and no cancer. And I want to tell you something. That's because she took the word of God, and she didn't incubate on that first report. Yeah, we process it. But she had to get focused on the thing of God, because here's what happens. Then, after we incubate on it, we either want isolation, right? Fear, shame, panic. Now, here's what the world does to you. However you got your comfort before you came to Jesus, the world's going to offer you that comfort later and tell you, here's a shortcut. You don't have to trust God. You don't have to deal with these feelings. Let's just take the shortcut. I don't want a shortcut, because God has never shortchanged me, and I'm not going to settle. And I want the thing out, because either it controls me or God controls me. And I want it to be God. So don't isolate. Instead of isolating, she became an insulator. She began to say, "I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to cover this baby with my faith. I'm going to cover this baby with my prayer." There's not a day, guys, there's not a day that goes by that I still don't pray over my kids. And you know, I was just so relieved. You know, Jake's married. Whew, I don't have to pray for a spouse anymore. And bam, then them grandbabies started coming. And they multiplied. And so now I got 7 people I'm praying for a spouse for. And I was like, it's never over. And let me just add to that. There's some of you in here, I'm praying for a spouse, but I'm praying for the right spouse. And I'm praying that you won't look at or settle for a feel good, but you're going to have something that's going to bless you the rest of your life. So she came in and she was an insulator. Why? Because she realized there was nowhere to hide and there was nowhere to run. That baby was only getting to get bigger, and she had to trust and put her faith in God. And here's what we do. Ever since the days of Adam, man has been hiding from God and saying, God is too hard to find. And we're the ones who are doing the hiding. But I want to tell you something. There's good news, because the Word plants hope, and the Holy Spirit is conversational. He's interactive. He is here to speak into your life and give you the hope that you need. So me, you know, hidden in myself, hidden in my fear, hidden in my imagination, I'm like, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Where is God? Why doesn't he care? How does God allow this? Those are all accusations. Who's the accuser? Who? Your enemy. Yes, the devil. He's the accuser. Why would I get in agreement with him and start accusing God? And yet everybody acts like, you know, God, he's just this terrible person. You know how bad God was? He gave you a free will. And what I do with it, just like my driving in this city, is my reflection of him. And I don't want him to look bad. And I don't ever want to be responsible for him getting a bad rap because of me being disobedient and then somebody else using that to say, look what God did. It is not to me that I feel God's got a bat over me saying, if you step out of line, you're going to get it. But it is that I love him. I love his people. I would never want to bring reproach on you. I would never want to bring reproach on his kingdom, because I love him. He's so good. Can you say amen to that?
He's good.
Okay, you know me. So I'm either listening to me, I'm either hiding, no place to run, or I'm walking in God. And here's what he does. He's saying, Gay, oh, please hear this. Gay, no more do you have to play hide and seek. No more do you have to hide, because you're already hidden. You've been hidden in me. I hid you under my wings when the enemy wanted to take you. I hid you in the high places on the rock. I took you away from where the enemy could go, and you are safe and you are secure in me. No more do you have to hide because you're hidden, because I've been seeking after you. I have sent my Holy Spirit whenever you call. I not only have sent the Holy Spirit, but he says that goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. He says that when I sleep, he never sleeps and he never slumbers, that he watches over me. I got a seeker because I'm hidden, but I'm hidden in him. And now the devil has no place to hide and the devil has no place to run. He cannot take from you what God wanted you to have. So I want to ask you today, are you hiding from God or are you seeking him? Because I don't want to play games with him. I want to be seeking him. He says, seek me while you may, that I may be found. God is not hiding from you. God is with you. And all we have to do is turn around and look. Turn around and look at your past and recognize the blessing and the favor of God. Or when we let the world tell us how unfaithful he was, and because we had weak faith, we got in agreement with them and went the route of the world. I don't want to do that. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. So all I need to do is acknowledge him. Proverbs 3:5-6 is a verse that so many people use as one of their banner scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Does that sound like somebody who's hiding from you? No, that sounds like somebody who's ready to show me the way out. But I need to give him the credit that he's got a plan, and the plan has a timing. Because it's not mine, it's his. It isn't time to quit hiding in fear. Is it? Is it time to quit hiding in annoyance? Is it time to quit hiding in pride or shame? And is it just time to turn around and know that I'm hidden away and the enemy can't get me because the seeker knows where I am? Today, Johnny, would you help me? Tommy, would you help me? Ken, would you help and get one more? I need another. Ben, maybe you could help me. I've got a little bookmark for everybody today. And on this little bookmark, it says this. Where to look when? You know, I need to seek him. Where to look when you're weary? Read Psalm 95, 1 through 7. When you seem too busy, read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15. When you can't sleep, read Psalms 4, 56 and 130. And when you're tempted, read James 1. When friends disappoint you, read 1 Corinthians 13. When your business is poor, read Ecclesiastes 5. And when nothing's going right, read 2 Timothy 3. And when you are bearing a grudge, read Ephesians 4. Because I want to tell you, God has gone before us. He's called you by name. He sees your potential. The world wants to stop your potential because you are a threat. The world also sees that God has favored you and they want to stop that. Maybe they're just jealous. But God sees the pitfalls ahead of you, and he says he will make your walking sure-footed so your foot will not slip. And though you may slip, you will not be hurled headlong. And God is seeking to protect us, and he's seeking to provide for us. That's what we need to do. If I ran out of those little bookmarks, I'm really sorry. I think there's still some people on the other side. Johnny has a few. I'll do my best to get more of those for those of you next week. So here's the thing. Jeremiah 23:24. says that we can't hide any place but what he can see us. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." I'd like for you just to stand with me this morning. I want to ask you something really simple. And it's just a little heart check. Do you feel in your life that you spend more time hiding from God or seeking God? Do you feel in your heart that there are more people out to get you than there is a God who's willing to help you? While we're in this place today, I know it's a joke on my business card for the church. It says Mother Superior. I know it's a joke, but you know, I hear your cries and I have compassion. I'm nobody special. I'm not. I have no illusions about that. But I know this. In this room, there's enough love that could be shared that those who can't believe for themselves, you could fight for somebody else. That those who doubt the love of God for ourselves, we could love somebody else because we know what it feels like to be unloved. Those who've been judged, we know what that feels like. And we, while we're letting ourselves be judged by ourselves or the world, we can have compassion for someone else who's been judged. Today, I want you to do this. I want you to realize you're the one today who needs his touch. Because if I'm going to give out, I see the pitfalls. I see the potential in you. But I know that only God can protect our minds and our hearts. Some of you in here today are already thinking, man, I can't let go of that. It's too late. That's a lie of the devil. It's never too late. Because with God, all things are possible. So you're going to get in agreement with the ark or the crocodile? Good answer. If I had another prize, I'd give it to you too. But right now, here's what I want you to do. Would you just close your eyes with me? If you're comfortable to lift your hands, or if you're comfortable just to even say it out loud right now, Lord, we just come to you, God. Lord, we're asking you to just cleanse us right now. God, we're tired of running. We're tired of feeling like you're against us. God, I just need to receive your grace and your mercy today. Lord, I can't be perfect. Only you are. But you can help me be responsible with everything that I'm doing when I keep you in it and I stay hidden in your love and I stay hidden, God, in your plan. Lord, cover us today. Those, God, who feel hurt by other people, that thing that is ravishing their mind and their heart, in Jesus' name, I ask you to heal them right now and let that go. Those, God, who are still caught up in the wisdom from being in Pharaoh's house, from being in the world, the school system, or from friends, God, whatever it was that taught us the ways of the world, I'm asking you today, God, to let your word speak greater, so that we can come away from the things that are meant to keep us enslaved so we cannot reproduce life. Today, God, we're your kids and we're saying we trust you, we love you, God, and we believe, Lord, that you're going to go before us, you're going to seek after us, behind us, and you're going to keep me hidden, God, from every trap. And I thank you for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, and, ooh, amen. Isn't he so good? Would you just turn around to somebody and say, I just love you. I'm so glad you're here. Be encouraged.